Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today in our discussion about remembering. 2 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 12, I will not be negligent to remind you. In verse 13, Peter says, I will stir you up by reminding you. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, he will continually remind them so that after he is gone, they will continue to remember. So join in the conversation to find what we are reminded to remember. The word remember is used over 320 times in the Bible, Janie. And so I think that it's pretty important for us to remember, and it's something that we should take seriously. Even Peter and Paul continually remind us of things that the Lord wants us to remember.
Sharon, I'm glad you mentioned Peter and Paul, because that takes me back to an incident that Peter had learned very painfully when he didn't listen to the words of God and he failed to remember. This was taking place on the night of the Lord, where the Lord was betrayed, and the Lord had told him after having the Lord's Supper that before the cock crowed, that Peter would deny him three times, and Peter just could not imagine that. And it probably didn't sink really heavy into his memory because it didn't seem to be relevant to him at that time. But when he started to follow Jesus from afar because he was going into the courtyard to be judged, Peter's standing off afar because he's still on the peripheral, and he is looking on, and a maiden comes up and says, oh, you're with this guy. I'm paraphrasing, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
And he says, no, I don't know this man. And this happened two more times, Sharon, and then the cock crowed, and there was the trigger. And Sharon, Peter remembered the words of his Lord. They became relevant to him, and he wept.
Well, earlier in the story, Janie, Peter was boasting about how he would die for Jesus. And Jesus said, no, Peter, actually, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And so when Peter is hit in the face with the truth of his own self, then he wept. And really, that's what we should all do when we are faced with the truth about ourselves.
And that's where we are many times becoming right now. The Lord is allowing things in our life to cause us to all of a sudden wake up to his words. And we are either seeing his words as a blessing or a lesson that we need to be learning in remembering. So when we go to the scriptures and we read them, and we read them casually, or we read them with a quick devotion, it's not going to go into our memory with the relevance that needs to be. One reason why we need to be very quiet in when we can wait upon him each day, so that it will sink in and we will remember.
You shared that we are designed to only hold so much information.
Correct.
We're not really designed to be like a computer, to have such a huge hard drive. We're only designed to handle so much information. And so we have to really choose what that information is and to practice remembering. Because I know for myself that there's a lot of things I don't remember because I've got a phone that does it for me. Or I've got a computer that does it for me. And so I just don't even try to remember.
So Sharon, really failing to remember the words of our Lord and what he has said to us will really bring destructive consequences within our body and our minds and our life. But again, now we can remember with hope because the Lord has made a provision for us today. And it is that we need to remember what Peter did. Peter confessed to the Lord and wound up being a great instrument and in turning this world around.
Right.
But in 1 John 1:9, and I'm going to turn to that.
Okay.
We have the assurance that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is a key verse for really a basic doctrine and theology, Sharon, that is many times misappropriated.
Okay.
The truth is there, but what we have a tendency to do and live by is that whenever we recognize we have sinned, we go to God afresh through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe we have to ask for forgiveness again.
Well, Janie, that's what we've been taught.
I understand that, and that's why we're having this discussion today.
Oh, my goodness. So,
because
all right.
The word confess here really means to agree with what God has already done. Jesus Christ at the cross took care of our sins by shedding His blood. He took care of our flesh by crucifying it. All forgiveness forever and ever was completed at the cross and when Jesus Christ was resurrected. We do not have to beg for forgiveness any longer, but we need to confess when we fail, and to confess means we agree with God on what He's already done for us with complete forgiveness once for all, and we are to stand in the good of that forgiveness, as He says He will keep on keeping that work complete.
Janie, this is very enlightening. You got to give me a minute to absorb this. You're telling me that once I receive salvation, that I no longer have to go and ask God to forgive me for my sins. I simply have to go and confess those sins.
And the way you confess is, I agree with you, Lord, that I have done something wrong.
Oh, okay. So instead of saying, sorry, I did something wrong, I tell Him exactly what I did wrong.
And agree with Him because He
and agree that it's a sin.
And agree that it, yes.
And not make excuses.
Good. Keep going.
And I think that's all I got. So, there's some parallels there in what we expect from our own children, or at least I do. I don't know about all parents, but, you know, there's some similarities there. I expect my children, when I have disciplined them and corrected them in their behavior, for them to agree with me that they acted that way and the way they acted was wrong.
Because you've already told them,
exactly.
You've already been training them, and for them to come back in and start all over with, I'm so sorry, Mama, blah, blah, I can't believe I've done this, and blah, 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 just to go back and say, Mom, you're right, I was wrong, and thank you that you love me and you have forgiven me.
Same concept we need to do with God.
Yes. Now,
okay.
We could make this a whole study, and maybe we should one day, but we won't do it today. Because we're looking at remembering and forgetting. And when your children come to you, they remember they've done something wrong and they need to make sure they are okay with you. I doubt that your son thinks that you're going to kick him out of the house, never speak to him again,
right.
That you're going to punish him and he can never play sports as long as he lives. You see, that's the way we're responding to the Lord. And that's a whole nother subject of how we keep from avoiding enjoying the forgiveness we already have.
Right. And so when we do remember what the Lord has said and we are not in alignment with that, then we basically just go and confess to Him that I've done wrong. I was wrong in this area.
And
do we ask for forgiveness at all at any point?
Well, I'm sure the Lord in His love and compassion and knowledge is already looking at the heart and knows where we are. I just go and say, Lord, I agree with You that I allowed my flesh to take over in this area.
Okay.
Lord, it has caused repercussions and it has caused me to become self-conscious, and self is still self.
Okay.
So, Father, I agree with You. Now, do I think I'm going to go back 15 minutes later and just jump on it again? No. When you agree with Him, you also agree with everything that He's provided. And He has said, I forgive. Go and sin no more.
Right.
Now, He doesn't expect us to maybe never let that happen at this point. But you see, there's a heart change, Sharon. So as we remember all of His words that He says to us, it makes us be able to accept the method of forgiveness that He has provided for us. And that is through the shed blood of dying for us on the cross.
Well, you know, there's other places in Scripture that He talks about remembering what He did on the cross, and that's in 1 Corinthians 11:24-28, and this has to do with communion. And so this is a pretty important passage. He wants us to remember what He did on the cross, and communion's part of that.
Yes, and in today's communion, I don't know about every church, but I know that there are many churches that don't even have a pause to remember that the graciousness of what God has done. They just say, we're going to do communion, and they start passing the elements, and it almost just becomes a ritual.
Oh, okay.
But in some churches, there's a time when you quiet your heart, you have prayer, and you remember anything that the Spirit brings to your remembrance. And at that point in time, you can agree with God, thank You for the precious blood, because we are celebrating what You have done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with You that I have been forgiven, and I praise You, and I remember You for who You are. And so you partake in the breaking of the bread.
Okay.
And then you think about, because that is His body symbolizing that He gave it for you. Then you take the cup and you remember that that precious spilt blood provided you with complete forgiveness forever and forever. And you can celebrate in the finished work of the cross as He was crucified and then resurrected, making everything active. So it's simple. But Sharon, I realize that in just the way we've been talking, how difficult it is to know exactly when and how to remember and when to forget.
Okay. So what are the things that we need to forget? Because, I mean, we've been talking about remembering. What things does the Lord want us to forget about?
I'm so glad you asked. He wants us to forget and forgive when someone trespasses against us.
Oh.
That's another show.
Oh.
That's another show.
Okay, Janie.
Then He also wants us to forget that we don't like the way He has fashioned us in some ways.
Okay.
We don't accept the way we look. We don't accept our temperaments. We don't accept our environment.
But our personality.
Our personality.
Okay.
And so we need to forget what we lack and concentrate on what He supplies.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's really sad that we tend to point out all of our weaknesses and our lack and none of our strengths.
And unfortunately, our mind remembers our brothers and sisters in Christ and where they are evidencing lacks. And then, Sharon, we remember them by their lacks rather than by the formation that God is creating in them.
It's the same way we remember ourselves.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yes, okay.
Right.
And so again, one of our favorite woman-to-woman verses is Romans 2, where it says, when you look at somebody and you don't like what they're doing, go back and look at yourself, because you're probably guilty of the same thing.
Right.
And immediately agree with God. Don't deny it. Oh, I can't be like that.
Right.
Because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, God, You're right. I agree with You. I'm weak in that area just like my
so-and-so.
So-and-so is. And so, Lord, let's clean that up. I'm going to start interceding for them, because as you take my intercessions and free them, you will be freeing me.
Right.
And okay. I will not get into experiences, but I can tell you, I know marriages that have been saved on that one principle.
Wow, that's amazing, Janie, that we have everything that we need right here in the scriptures to help us through all of these relational situations, emotional situations, things that we physically need to overcome. And everything's right here, and we've just not applied it to our lives in a practical manner.
Sharon, the practical manner is really fairly simple to explain. We are creatures that are used to using our five senses, what we see, what we feel, what we touch, and what have you. The Holy Spirit is within us as a real person. He is the missing link to making everything you've just said practical.
Oh, okay.
But because we don't see Him, we don't touch Him physically, He is harder to relate to until we really get to know Him.
Okay.
And so the practical way we do that is by waiting on Him, listening to the Word, and recognizing we must become sensitive to the Spirit of deliverance that lives within us, just not what we're going to do.
Right,
and perform.
Right.
Because we'll keep missing the power that we need for what we want.
Okay, so this is totally making sense to me. Because
is that scary, Sharon?
Okay, so I did not realize how important practicing remembering was. I mean, I'll take it back to phone numbers, and I'll just use that as an illustration. Why do I need to remember phone numbers when I have my phone to do that? So the same is true with our scriptures. Why do I need to go and read the Bible when the pastor does that for me on Sunday? Why do I need to go and read the Bible? I've already read it through so many times. And so we get into this kind of la-ti-da mode where we're not training our brain to do anything but routine stuff, maybe.
Well, and now you have just uncovered my secret on why I don't like methodologies.
Okay.
Remember how I always tell you I don't want the formulas?
Uh-huh.
Because you see, if you give me a formula, I'll do your formula. And probably without waiting on the Spirit for the power to actually make it real.
Right.
So there are procedures that we need to follow. We started out with 2 Peter. There is a procedure there to follow so that we're not blind and that we can grow.
Right.
But if I make that procedure a routine list.
A step-by-step instruction. I got to do this, check to this, check. Do this, check.
I've got to be kind whether I feel like it or not. Mm-hmm. I've got to develop virtue, and I'm going to do that in my own strength. Then I stifle the work of the Spirit, and it is the Spirit that has the power to make the procedure alive.
Okay.
So now you know why I'm careful with my words about, well, let's try this method and see if that works. Well, great, we'll do it, and we don't need the Spirit. We'll get her done from our intellect.
Uh-huh.
So now, practically, confession, I agree with the Lord, don't know how to do it unless the Spirit provides me with the guidance, the quietness, the instructions, the filling. The Holy Spirit does everything as He has been instructed from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
The Lord Jesus Christ has been given everything that pertains to life and godliness and fullness for as long as we are here on earth and for eternity.
Okay.
And then the Lord Jesus Christ says He does nothing apart from His Father.
Right.
John 17, if you need to go back and see His prayer unto His Father God. Three in one, each with a different role, but all working as one.
Right.
All
okay.
Right? And that way, if we start off remembering that truth, we'll be pleasantly surprised to see that Ephesians 3:20, I believe it is, where he says he has prepared such great things more than what we can comprehend as we wait on a triune God to do his work in and through us.
Well, I didn't think that this remembering lesson was going to be so profound for me, but I tell you, understanding that we're getting more comfortable in not having to remember because we have other devices to do that for us. And so therefore, we've kind of hurt ourselves in not continuing to train our brain to be active.
I'm afraid our failure is that we take it in and we store it in our intellectual capacity, and now we know. But James 4:17 says, to know and not to do, it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and our old sin nature has been crucified, and our sins, our actions have been forgiven at the cross. And those are two things, may we pray, that we never, ever, ever forget.
Okay. So, Janie, does that go back to salvation itself? I mean, we're looking at end times for the Lord's return. And, you know, maybe there's people out there that have no idea how to come to the Lord. They've heard so many different ways.
Well, and many are under the guise that they are fine with Jesus Christ and that they're going to heaven, but actually they're going to hell based on what Matthew 7 says. Many people are deceived. Lord, haven't we done these miracles?
Uh-huh.
Haven't we? Okay. And the Lord says,
right.
Depart from me. I never knew you. Why would the Lord say something like that? Because the heart had never accepted the way of knowing Jesus Christ for ever and ever. And Sharon, there is one little pattern, and I'm not saying this is the only one, but there's one little pattern called the Romans Road to Salvation.
Okay.
And do we have time to just end in that today?
Sure, sure, absolutely.
All right, well, in Romans 3:23, it tells us all have sinned and come short of the goodness of God.
Okay.
So that means there's no thing in us that we can find out salvation on our own. If all have sinned, we're all guilty.
Right.
So we don't have enough goodness to get us to heaven. Then in Romans 6:23, it tells us that the wages or the payment for living in sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if we think we can have eternal life and not have to know the fact that our wages of sin can only bring death.
Well, I just want to make a point here because some people think that death is just going back to dust and eternal life is living forever, but everyone will live eternally. Death is eternal separation from God. You will eternally die.
And if you tell God that you don't want him here in this life, you don't want him in your prayer life, your school life, your marriage, your home, your workplace, then the Lord says, I'm not breaking both legs and arms. If you don't want me, then you don't have to take me.
Right.
But I, as the creator of this universe, have no place else to do with you after you breathe your last breath. The only other alternate I've ever prepared for anything or anybody is hell, and that was made for the rebellious angels. But unfortunately, there are people who have the same rebellious spirit that the angels did, and I have no place else to send them. If they don't want to be with me, I'm not going to force them. So that is the eternity results, and it is separation from me, and it is hell.
Eternal death.
Yes. Well, and when you die in hell, unfortunately, you don't return to nothingness.
Right.
There is torture, agony. And,
right.
And then in Romans 10, the last two steps, we have Romans 9 and 10 that tells us that if we will confess with our mouth and conjunction, believe in our hearts. So just having an emotional conviction, walking the aisle, signing a card, joining a church, and thinking you're fine because you've confessed with your mouth, but the heart is not willing to be conformed to his image, you're on dangerous territory. All right? And then the very last verse is Romans 10:13. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
And for those who are interested in pursuing this further, we have a Romans Road guide on our resource page at SharonHearts.org. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hearts Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.